This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Take a vacation from your bills, pay off credit cards, and save thousands of dollars after a simple phone call to Golden Oak Lending. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
NMLS 114937.
If you love your phone, but not your carrier, just switch to T-Mobile. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and we'll help pay it off up to $800 per line. You can also use our savings calculator to compare our plans and streaming benefits against Verizon and AT&T. So, switch and keep your phone, keep your number, and keep more of your moolah at T-Mobile.com.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, port-in, 90-plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Willard and Dibs.
Can you sing with that voice?
Literally.
I did Daddy Warbucks in middle school, and it was talk singing.
What I'm telling you, can't tell you some
why.
Sing.
That's singing.
On 95.7 The Game.
You missed your calling there, bro.
Oh, man. Well, I tried. I went and won the drama award in middle school. Then I got to high school, and they were waiting for me.
Yep.
And I'm like, I'm going to go play basketball.
Sports, man.
I'll see.
That's enough for me, Doug.
I'm going to go ride the bench on the basketball team. You do all your singing and dancing and carrying on over here
sports,
in the next.
Man.
Yeah, I'm going to do some sports.
It's so funny because I went the reverse where I got to high school and it's like sports, they don't want me because I'm small, weak, slow, and can't jump. And so musical theater, here I come.
Hey.
Da, 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 da.
Who'd you play?
Well, I played Little Orphan Danny. Thank you. No, I played Earthquake Magoon in Little Abner.
Earthquake Magoon.
Yes.
All right.
He's the bully, and so it was kind of a bit because I was 4'10", so they had me play the bully.
The bully. Yeah.
And then I played in the musical theater production of MAME, I played Little Patrick. And you want to talk about a trap. I walked into that audition, 57 girls, 3 boys. And it's like, I'm not walking out of here without a lead role. Can't sing, can't dance, can't really act. You're hired.
That's just
stupid.
The way you led into that reminded me of the open. Do you remember the old MTV show Singled Out?
Oh, yeah.
You get 50 guys
right.
And 50 girls. But yours was different because it was 57 girls and 3 guys.
Right. So if
that
you walked
would have been
in
a more interesting dating show for the guys, at least.
Right. I still would have struck out probably 54 times, but the point of the story is when you're in that paradigm and they need men in a musical theater, boys in a musical theater production, you get a role.
Yeah, you get a role. You get a role.
Good
and
Lord.
You get a role.
Should have stuck to cross country.
All right, do you get a star? And you get a star. And you get a star. Because if you listen to Joe Lacob, that's all that's going to keep happening. And I have not listened to this yet, but I have a feeling it's going to scare me. I really do. I'm not kidding here. Joe Lacob is one of the best owners in sports. So get that out of the way. Get that out of your head. Get it out of your mouth. All of that stuff. Joe Lacob is one of the best owners in sports. Period. End of sentence. But I do have questions when Steph Curry leaves. And I'd be fine if Joe would just say, and we have questions when Steph Curry leaves. But that's not what Joe says. Joe will keep telling you that when number 30 leaves, oh, watch the amazeballs Warriors after that. They're just going to keep on holding parades constantly. At least that's the goal. And I got no problem with goals. But let's hear it, okay? TK Show, Andrew Bogut in 10 minutes on Willard and Dibs. TK Show, Joe Lacob on the goal going forward into the post-Steph era.
We're going to do everything we can to try to maintain and be a significant NBA franchise with aspirations to win championships for as many years of the next 15 that I'm doing this as we have over the prior 15. Whether we'll achieve it, I'm sure I can see the text right now from the internet saying, oh, Lacob, you know, you're ridiculous. You're done when this group's gone. Well, don't really think so. So, I mean, I'm sorry. I refuse to admit that. We're going to continue to try hard, work real hard, and if it takes spending money to make money or spending money to, in this case, win, you know, if that's what it takes within the construct of the rules, we do that. But whatever it takes, we're going to do it because I'm not here to screw around. We're not here to screw around. This is not some passive thing for me. This is every day, every night, waking up. I think about it all day, all night. And it's what we do. It's what we want to do. It's what we enjoy doing. We want to win. We want to be a significant player in the NBA landscape every year.
Okay, listen, I love the tone of it. I really do. I do think he's crazy, but I also think crazy is good. It's good for that job. That's like tucked into all of that. You could never ask for more from an owner of your favorite team than that, where he's like, I live, breathe, sleep,
yep,
winning. I'm obsessed with this going well, as opposed to I'm obsessed with making money. And if we've got to move to Sacramento and become the blanks, we will.
I thought you were going to go to we're obsessed with breaking even.
I mean,
we're just trying to break even out here.
There's not another owner in sports that strikes the right chord as Joe Lacob when it comes to that. But at the same time, as he called it, texts from the internet.
Yep, yep, which is fine.
It's fine. We look. Well, I'm looking at him right now.
95797.
Yeah,
57.
He's right. He's right. Everybody is going to think that that's crazy talk. I can't wait to sit back and watch him try.
Yes, I can't wait either. And I was just thinking about how ludicrous Luda that is. And then I thought about the Lakers and what they did in 30 years from 1980 to 2010. And they won 10 titles. Magic, Kareem, Shaq and Kobe, a dollop of Pau, other supporting players. So in 30 years, which is what Joe's talking about, 15 down, they've got four, 15 to go, they would need six in the next 15 to get the 10 that the Lakers got in that 30-year span. I know it's a different league now because back then it was Lakers and Celtics and maybe two other teams who ever had a chance. A lot more parity now, international players, a lot more teams have stars and whatnot, but that's where the bar is because the Lakers won 10 and 30. Joe's got 4 and 15, which yep. I will never scoff at it. And I'll be honest, when he came in with that same level of hubris and cocksure and ego, I scoffed.
Of course.
I mocked. I did the whole thing.
Everyone thought it was ridiculous. Especially with this organization.
Right.
With where this fan base has been. And I'd say that's the only difference to what you're talking about is, are the Warriors different under Joe Lacob? Yeah, and so are we. So are we. Like, we grew up watching a Warrior franchise where if we made it to the first round, everybody was like, we don't need to go to June for a parade. We could just do this now. How about make burgers at McDonald's and we'll call them the Tim and Chris Burger? Or if you want, you can call them a Chris and Tim Burger. And we're going to celebrate this first round. That's who we used to be.
Yep.
And now we're over here going, six seed joke. Absolute joke. So we're different, and that's good. And they're different, and that's good. My question is, okay, Joe, you want to do four more? Obviously, that means that even if you still believe Steph's got another one in him, you want to do four more. So who's going to be that person? And with all this money that you're spending on these guys now, how are you going to acquire new players? This was my question after the Jimmy Butler deal. My biggest concern was that they essentially put all their resources into that deal. And then they're going to sign Kuminga, and they've got no room else to do anything else ever for the next 3-4 years. Well, that question came up. Listen to what he said again on the TK show.
We have optionality. I mean, one of the things about our position, which I don't think the media portrays entirely accurately or to its fullest extent, is that when you compare us to some other teams who have gone, quote, all in, we've gone all in on money more than any other team. We've paid whatever to bring people, you know, to try to win. But we have all of our draft choices after this one's up this year, past this summer. Basically, all of our draft choices with part of 2030, I think, isn't ours. But basically, going forward, the vast majority of our draft picks we have a lot of good young players. We haven't given up any of them, really. And so I think if we wanted to change things around at some point this summer or whatever, we have the option to do that. We have the assets to do that.
Now that really speaks to me. That's interesting. Now, it's just words right now. We got to see it. But there's no reason to doubt Joe Lacob when he's talking about the willingness to spend money. And if I misread that upon the acquisition of Jimmy Butler, then, you know, that's bad on me. But I really thought that deal meant the Warriors, to a certain degree, were all in and doors closed. Joe is like, we can still spend more. And we have assets that we can use. And to a degree, and maybe to a very large degree, he is right. Because they waited for a deal where they did not have to give up a ton. And you look at what would their potential assets be this offseason. Well, good Lord, Jonathan Kuminga. Brandon Pajemski has revitalized his value. Even a Moses Moody is a piece. And just about all of your draft picks.
Yep.
And in a pinch, if you're needing to match major salaries, Jimmy Butler is a piece that's tradable.
Yeah.
And is playing very well still. So
Draymond Green.
And Draymond Green, sure. Yeah. And everybody.
Not named Steph. Buddy Hield's making nothing. And so if you're a team that needs an eighth man shooter, a guy who he can shoot.
He'll hit a three now.
He will. And he's not making a lot. And his salary is very flat over the next couple of years. So they do have assets. And what I heard him say is a little bit like the LA Rams with kind of F them picks. Because they don't have this year's pick, most likely. And he mentioned that the 2030 pick. I don't know exactly when or how that would confer, but that means over the next 4 years after this year, you have picks that you can shop.
All right, let's talk about all this with Andrew Bogut, shall we? Along with celebrating him and the 2015 team as they did last night, Bogut from Down Under is going to join us next. We're sponsored by Ceramani Ford. Head down to Ceramani Ford to lease a 2024 Mustang Mach-E Select or 2024 Ford Lightning. And receive the Ford Power Promise that includes standard home installation of a Ford charge station. It's located right off 280 in Colma Daly City. Ceramani Ford, your San Francisco EV dealer. Andrew Bogut joins us next on Willard and Dibbs.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, Bogues is going to be on with us here in just a minute.
Oh, I cannot wait.
Ooh, I got to get this the name right of the kid that they just signed from Australia. Because Bogues knows him. What's the name?
Taren Armstrong.
Bogues has been watching him. He knows this kid.
All right.
Y'all even know that the Warriors just signed someone from Australia?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Good.
So I saw Bogues doing a little breakdown on the kid online. So we'll have to get his breakdown direct from the horse's mouth.
I like it. And just hearing Andrew reminds me of, man, the good old days and a little bit of mixed emotions, because when they acquired Bogut, they traded my son Quest's favorite player, Monte Ellis. And so Quest, who was really young at the time, he might have been 10 or 11, he was mad. Oh, they can't believe they traded Monte. Oh,
so was Andrew.
So was the fan base at the Chris Mullin retirement ceremony.
Yes.
And then, you know, the whole thing spins in a different direction, and eventually they go on and they win the title.
I'll never forget that my first moment of knowing that something was going on with Kevin Durant was someone online sent me. They go, dude, check Andrew Bogut's Twitter. And I ran to Andrew Bogut's Twitter, and he had changed the picture from him in a Warriors jersey into him in an Australian national team jersey. Ooh. And someone's like, what's going on here?
It had to be coincidence.
Yeah, maybe not.
He loves his country.
But anyway, yes, he does. And that's where he is now on the River Islands guest line. And we're thrilled to have him. So thankful. Andrew Bogut joining us here on Willard and Dibbs 95.7 The Game. Hey, Andrew, how you doing, man?
Good. Yourself?
We're doing great, man. First of all, just want to sort of like, because you didn't get to do it in person last night, kind of like send along the love from the entire Warrior fan base and the organization about the 2015 team. Were you following along with that in any way or talking to any of the guys?
Not really, to be honest with you. I had the invite, which only came to me about a month ago, so... As our American friends don't usually realize, Australia is a pretty far place to just jump on a quick flight for a game. So I couldn't organizationally get down there, but you know, it was obviously a great night and a very special time. And texted with a few other teammates that weren't there on the night as well, and would have liked to have been there, but it just, yeah, scheduling, being this far away from the U.S., just didn't work.
Yeah, it's great to hear you, and I'm sure Bay Area fans, Warrior fans are loving this because you instantly became a fan favorite because the way you played and your personality. When you think about that season, 2015, that culminated in a title, what are some of the things that you remember and some of your takeaways from that year?
I think just the way it all came together, I think it was just an anomaly, really. Like, we had a pretty decent squad that was building into something special, had a good mix of youth, a good mix of veteran leadership. We had great role players and just started the season off pretty well, and everything just kind of fell together perfectly. You know, our roles were established just naturally, and it just was an enjoyable way. I mean, when you can play basketball the way that squad did, you know, obviously later on KD came and the system was a little bit different. But I believe, and I'm not being biased, that those 2 years that I played there were two of the best years of professional basketball I've played as far as enjoyment. And just the way everything was in sync and the ball moves, and we didn't have to overthink things. Everyone kind of knew each other's strengths and weaknesses, had each other's backs. It was just all automatic. It wasn't some sort of intro offense that we put together or defense. It was literally just having guys that was, you know, high basketball like you guys playing together and having time to make mistakes over the course of the years and play together and go through ups and downs. And it all just came together, and it was just a beautiful way to play, in my opinion.
Yeah, it really was beautiful basketball to watch. And Andrew, I don't know if this comment got back to you, but last night Steve Kerr was asked about the team and said who was kind of the underrated or unsung hero of this whole thing, and he mentioned your name. Did you know that?
Yeah, Raymond Ritter sent me the clip, so yeah, pretty cool. You know, big compliment from Steve, and appreciate that. You know, had ups and downs all throughout my Warriors times as well with injuries and whatnot, but felt like I provided something that was lacking before I got to Golden State, and that was physical presence. Wasn't afraid to hit people, set hard screens, rebound, block shots, and it fit in as a perfect piece of the puzzle. So, you know, just getting through the playoffs that year and having a battle with Ebo and Gasol and Dwight Howard and some of these big guys, and then obviously, you know, in the Cleveland series was a little bit of a different matchup, didn't play as much, but providing kind of what I could was really cool, and it's nice to get that notoriety.
Also, in just thinking back to those times, like, I don't know what word you'd use for it. I want to ask you if it's surprising to you, or how would you describe the fact that some of those teammates, they're still here and they're still playing at a high level. Like, would you have foreseen that then?
Yeah, I mean, Steph just doesn't age, right? Like, he's usually guards have a pretty steep decline once it hits, just because speed goes, and then you lose your quickness, and it's pretty hard to keep up with these young guys coming into the league. And then Draymond probably a little bit more unsurprising, just because he's not, you know, this isn't a knock, but he was never a guy that played strictly on athleticism or speed. He plays a lot on basketball IQ. He's got really long arms, multi-positional, and he's just a gritty guy. So you could see him playing later on to his 30s, but Steph's just being fantastic. And considering, you know, where his body started in his NBA career with all the injuries that he had and issues of just getting healthy to where he is now is phenomenal, and just a testament to how much time and effort he puts in to be a professional.
And to that end, Andrew, and Andrew Bogut here on 95.7 The Game, on that championship team, you had Draymond in his second year, Klay in his third, Steph in his fifth. Did you, at that moment, project out what these three guys would eventually be 10 years later?
Oh, it's always hard to figure out kind of the trajectory. You obviously, Steph come from MVP, multiple MVP years and whatnot, so you kind of knew that his star was at the top and continuing to rise. Seeing Klay, yeah, definitely just his scoring ability and Draymond, and we had other guys too. You know, Harrison Barnes is still floating around the league, and you know, it's definitely cool to see when you retire and, you know, 5-6 years post-retirement, you've still got ex-teammates floating around. Really, really cool.
Andrew Bogut with us, and Andrew, I know you do still follow the league, and so certainly curious about your take on the trade deadline, how that is filtered through the Western Conference, and do you sort of buy the talk that's happening around here, courtesy of Draymond, that this is now a championship contender?
Look, when they made the trade, I was wondering how it was going to work just from a shooting point of view because, you know, Jimmy's not a you know, your classic catch-and-shoot three-point guy that you can kind of defensively you can muck off him. So I thought with him and Draymond in the lineup at times, is that going to work? But it's been a great fit. You know, I think it's given life to Draymond. It's given life to Steph. I think they feel like they got a genuine chance now. I saw Dunleavy Jr.'s interview after the trade a couple of weeks back, and he mentioned that the big thing they wanted from Jimmy was that they got an issue of not getting to the free throw line, which has kind of always been an issue for the Warriors just with the run and gun style and so many three-point attempts. Even when I was there, we just didn't get to the free throw line a lot. And Jimmy just fills that beautifully. You know, he's an 8-10 free throw a night guy. When you've got clunky, crappy offensive possessions, he'll get to the line and knock down some shots and calm things down. And he's an elite defender. So now you've got an elite perimeter defender, an elite inside defender with Draymond. Put some pieces around that. You know, I tell you what, I think they'll finish higher than they are now, but if they happen to get an 8 seed and you're OKC, I don't think you want to see them in the first round.
Yeah, no doubt, and especially with the experience, Jimmy's been to the finals a couple times, and, you know, you mentioned Steph and Draymond have 4 titles apiece, and your first title run, you had some veterans as well with Iguodala and David Lee, Leandro Barbosa. How important is that veteran experience when you get down into the playoffs?
Really important. You know, Andre was obviously just having his jersey retired for a reason. He was a stabilizing presence for us. As far as a veteran goes, he was the leader of our bench unit, bought into that role. We had Sean Livingston, who provided so much for us at times. You know, people forget we won a series without Steph against Portland. I think it was the second year, maybe. And Livingston was huge in that series. So you need a mix, and I think most teams that are successful, we often see these young teams that you probably look at OKC last season, took the world by storm, but I always kind of had a say on that and saying I don't think they'll win it yet, I don't think they're there yet, they need a few more pieces, they need some more time together, and you know you can't beat Father Time, the battles that these veterans go through, and then you sprinkle a couple of those into your team, and then you have what you have with the Warriors, those runs, and they're a very similar unit. They've got a bit of youth now, Kuminga and whatnot. They've got some shooting and Hield, and then you've still got those veterans. But, you know, it's just amazing that Golden State really only one really down horrible year out of the last, you know, decade plus, considering all the championships, is pretty impressive. They just haven't had that downward spiral over a long period like most teams do after a championship and kind of a breakup.
Andrew Bogut with us, and his podcast, which is really good, by the way, is called Rogue Bogues, so you can check that out and get all of the analysis and entertainment and everything from Andrew all the time. Andrew, you mentioned Jonathan Kuminga's name there. This is a huge hot-button thing on the weekly here in the Bay Area right now, which is sort of projecting who he's going to be. What do you see as the possibilities for Jonathan Kuminga's future career?
These things are so hard to call. You just don't know. Sometimes they get a big contract and it settles guys down and they play even better. Sometimes guys like that can get a good contract and then not play as well because of all the pressure. Sometimes guys like that can benefit from a change of scenery. You know, like there's so many factors that go into it. Look, he's very unique athletically, can definitely get to the basket and get you some points. I think he's still young and learning. Defensively, he's got all the tools to be a good defender. He's not there yet, but I think he's a young and up-and-coming player. You can see why the Warriors were hesitant on including him in any trades or any deals that they were going to do. But it's just a matter of how fast can he progress into that, because you're looking down the barrel, like we just spoke about, to open this. You've got a lot of older guys on that team that are going to start to transition to lesser roles or even move on. He's probably the one that you're looking in your telescope saying that's kind of the future beyond those guys. And I guess this is a time to see, and he can really grow into a valuable fourth, fifth role player right now that can have nights where he scores 20-25, but then look into 2 or 3 years, take over the reins. So, yeah, I don't know where his ceiling sits, but he's got all the tools to be a very good player.
How tough is it for younger players to have a role like this, where you might play 18 minutes a night, you might be expected to play 34 another? Moses Moody's kind of in that bucket as well. Is that really difficult for young players to have that sort of a yo-yo role from night to night?
Yeah, it can be frustrating. I know Kuminga's had some issues where he's, you know, close to DNPs, if not DNPs at times, and being benched, and Steve's tried to use the minutes as currency to make sure that he's doing the right thing, and that can be frustrating, but you have to understand that's the coach's only currency they have, really. They don't pay your bills, they don't pay your contract, they don't negotiate your contract. All they can really motivate you with is playing time, and I think he's responded well. I think he's had ups and downs, but he's bounced back and he continues to try to get better. So I think he's going to be a great player. It's just a matter of how great. Is the question, I guess, for you guys and most Warriors fans, you know, move on from Steph and Draymond and even Jimmy, can he be the one? Can he be the guy? Can he lead Golden State for the next decade plus? That's the question that he's got to answer, and that's the question that Golden State's got to ask itself in regards to the contract extension and whatnot, and that's arguable both ways.
Speaking of young guys, Andrew, what did the Warriors just get in this 23-year-old Australian Taron Armstrong?
Yeah, played in the NBL last season. Very, 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 very good player. Very good out of the pick and roll. Kind of, he's a high usage guy, so I'm not sure how that's going to fit in with Golden State. They, you know, obviously like to move the ball more than just play out of the pick and roll, but very good at getting in the lane, kind of a bigger guard, deceivingly quicker than he looks, gets in the paint at will, can get to the free throw line, but he has some fire to him. He'll fight you. So that's what we like about him in Australia. Like he's not afraid to back down. He's ever improving. He's still a young guy, a lot to learn, but he's got, you know, any guy that has passion and will step nose to nose to you and fight you and not let you just walk over him has a chance. And I think it's a great pickup for Golden State. You know, worst case, he's a G League player for this season, and then you got him in training camp. You can keep him around in the summer, play some summer league. I think it's a great opportunity for him and the Warriors to get a. He's a pure natural point guard, so it'll be interesting to see where he goes over the course of the year.
Bugs, before you go, I just wonder what your thought is on everything that's happened with Luka Doncic over the last 3 weeks.
It's been interesting.
Yeah.
It's been interesting. I mean, you don't often have basketball news talked about by non-basketball people, which this has brought on. People here that don't really follow the game ask me questions about it, so that was interesting. But look, I look at it two ways. I think first and foremost, I think it's a bad deal for Dallas, regardless of how you look at it. I don't think it was a great deal. I think they reportedly only spoke to two teams is just mind-boggling, absolutely mind-boggling. And you know, but on from my other hat on, and is it finally time where teams are saying we're going to, in the era of player empowerment, are we not going to tolerate this stuff no matter how good you are now? You know, so that's where you get on the other side. You look at someone like probably Zion Williamson. It's probably a similar situation, right? Not as big a star as Luka, but he's had his issues with injuries, with weight, and all that kind of stuff. Do teams start saying, we don't want to go on a second, third apron on a Supermax because we don't want to pay you because of XYZ, and we just let you go like that, kind of, not cheaply, but didn't get a whole lot back what they should have. that's interesting in itself now. So I think there's a lot of dynamics that you can look at in this, but I think it's the fact that Dallas did it, I think, took a lot of, you know, steel, you know what, you know? So big move by them. But, yeah, I just think that I think it's very interesting.
Well, and it almost feels like, I don't know if you feel this way, but the Athletic today has a bunch of, there's all these sourced comments, right? And now it's talking about his not just his weight, but his smoking and beer and all this. It sort of feels like there's a smear campaign going on after the trade.
Look, man, there's NBA players that go out till 5 in the morning and go out and drop 40 the next night. Like, you know, vice is off the floor to me in the NBA, unless they're super detrimental, where you're on hard drugs or doing something absolutely diabolical. Like, everyone's got a vice. And, yes, could he be in better shape? For sure. I think there's no doubt about that, especially with his injury history. But, you know, it's just the fact that they're going to those lengths to try to... It's just sad to see Dallas going to those lengths to leak that kind of stuff. It's like, you made the trade, put your big boy pants on, move on with life. You know, I think Dallas, the only way they can salvage this as being a half plausible deal, in my opinion, is if they get a championship in the next two seasons. But with AD's injury, that's, you know, who knows? I think that's the only way they can salvage this as somewhat okay. But yeah, kind of, I just find it, the fact that you're doing that smear campaign, you're kind of, if you're playing poker, you're showing your hand that you messed up. That's what it's telling me if you're Dallas. We messed up, now we're going to try to smear this guy as much as possible to show that our trade process was not inept like most people think.
Man, it's wonderful to have your perspective, and we really, really appreciate your time. And we also wanted to ask who we should bet on tonight, since it's Thursday there, and you probably know what happened.
Yeah, we gotta get you Americans to figure out dialing phone numbers first. You guys struggle dialing my Australian number, but no. You know, As a team owner now, apparently I'm not allowed to even talk about betting. So,
oh, that's right.
Big problem. Well,
how's your team doing, by the way? Aren't you in the playoffs or something?
Well, soft spot, man. Thanks for that. No, we got knocked out of the Plains about a week ago. So
darn it.
So we're in rebuild, not rebuild mode, but we're in restructure mode for next season. Free agency will start in roughly 3 weeks old, about a month. So a very, very busy time of year for us. And season, so we're trying to rebuild next season.
Okay, great stuff. Well, best of luck with it, Andrew. And again, really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Easy, guys. Thank you.
All right, there it is. Bogues. Andrew Bogut right here on Willard and Dibs.
Opinions. Always has had
always.
Them.
And always.
I was about to ask him what his vice was, because you know, everyone's got a vice, but I didn't want to put him on a spot. And
you better
him...
be careful.
Exactly.
That's right.
Because he mentioned every NBA player has a vice, but I do like what he said about Dallas and the smear campaign, because, okay, you made the trade. Let's let the results determine who won the deal. You don't have to go out now and say he drank too much, he ate too much, he smoked too much.
Well,
like, what are we doing?
I'm
Andrew was, I think he's right about the smear campaign.
I agree. I agree with him. I agree with you. At the same time, like, look, do you need to go down that rabbit hole? Like, you want to say no, you don't. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, they made the deal, and I don't think that they correctly figured out what the reaction was going to be. And the reaction is so much more intense than what they thought it was going to be, that I do think people are sitting there scratching their head going, why would you do this? So maybe the Mavericks feel like they're providing through back channels the reasons for why they did this. Doesn't come off that way. Comes off as super bitter and
right.
Sour grapes and unnecessary. It's like, I don't look, he's a Laker now. Do we need stories of beer and smoking? I mean, people will read them. They're interesting.
Right. But
he
averaged 28.5 for his career. So, like,
he was in the finals 10 months ago.
Right. And I would imagine he was eating, drinking, and smoking then.
You're damn right.
And nobody was worried about that then. And when you have this leak out, how many Dallas fans are like, oh, Well, thank God they traded him.
Still none.
He's firing in lung darts.
None.
And he's eating double cheeseburgers and drinking a six-pack at halftime.
You know what they say about eating a burger.
Woo! It's good for you.
It'll kill you.
Yeah, it could.
Do you guys remember the video when they're in the locker room or in the tunnel after they won the Western Conference Finals?
Yep.
Michael Finley walks up, takes the beer out of his hands
to hug him,
and then Luka thinks he's going to give him the beer back, puts his hand up to take it back, and Michael Finley just walks away.
Yeah. I mean, it's literally like being treated like a child. So when you just took the beer right out of my hand, I'm an adult. I'm making 50-some-odd million dollars. I'm running this show.
I'm averaging 28 and a hook a night.
I don't get a beer. Where's Bruce Bochy when you need him?
Have a beer.
Have a beer.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler was drinking beers the other night after their game. There was a report in The Athletic and, you know, just kind of a throwaway line like, you know, we went up to Jimmy as he was in the middle of a beer post-game. It's like, yeah, that's what you do. You're 35. You just worked your butt off on the floor.
I mean, look, I get it. You're certainly welcome if you're the Mavericks and you're making that kind of investment. You are welcome to not like the way that he is handling his physical world. And maybe they tried, and he just continued to go rogue. Like, doesn't matter what you tell me. I'm doing it this way. That's a pickle. It's a tough spot. But I also like what Bogue said. Is like, even if you feel that way, your process of how you wiggle out of that situation was incredibly flawed. What he referred to as mind-boggling is the fact that the Mavericks only called two teams. That's bananas.
Yeah.
That can't be the best way to make a deal.
For a top six player in the league.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
I mean.
And they could have and should have gotten at least one more first round pick,
for sure.
But they didn't. And it's all because they didn't want to put it out there that they were shopping Luka. And that's fine as long as you get maximum value for the player, which they didn't.
All right. There's a lot still to get to. We'd love to hear from you. 888-957-9570. Coming up next, a couple things. First of all, did you hear Kevin Durant on Draymond Green's podcast? The fact that in and of itself that he went on is a message sent. And did you hear the different way that Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green talked about Jonathan Kuminga's return versus the way Steve Kerr talked about Jonathan Kuminga's return? Very different answers. So we'll have all of that coming up for you next. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. This is Willard and Dibbs.
When they made the trade, I'm wondering how it's going to work just from a shooting point of view because, you know, Jimmy's not a you know, your classic catch-and-shoot three-point guy that you can kind of, defensively, you can muck off him. So I thought with him and Draymond in the lineup at times, is that going to work? But it's been a great fit. You know, I think it's given life to Draymond. It's given life to Steph. I think they feel like they got a genuine chance now.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Great to hear from Bogues. Always a straight shooter. Always a straight shooter. 888-957-9570. I'm just going to throw this out there. Do you still have any interest in Kevin Durant?
Do I?
Wow, you're a Warrior fan, right? I mean,
yeah.
And all of you listening.
The answer is yes.
Does it feel like the page has been turned? Or are you still in some way interested in Kevin Durant? Because let's be real, for about 3 days, this had the whole city all turned up.
Right.
And then he turned us down.
Yeah.
And then we went through 48 hours of, we suck, everything's over, stupid organization, trade Steph Curry. And then they acquired Jimmy Butler, and the world was split for about 3 minutes, and then the Warriors started winning basketball games. And now everybody has, or have they not, turned the page?
We have turned the page, and I'm going to use an analogy that pertains to my 2.5-year-old daughter, because when you do story time with a 2 or 2.5-year-old, you're going through the book, and if she decides that she wants to go back a page, we go back a page. There's a butterfly. There's a bird. That's a dog. That's a walrus. And it's like, we're trying to get through this. We turned the page. No, we didn't. She turned the page back. So, yes, we've turned the page. But if we get to the offseason and this doesn't go as far as we want and this doesn't look like the Kuminga fit is what we wanted and KD has a Phoenix season end the way it looks, which is you're going to be an 11 seed or worse. And I can see that thing breaking apart even further where Beal is like, ah, man, I got a groin. And KD, I don't think KD will pull an I have an elbow issue, but you can see that thing getting into shutdown mode.
Well, they're trading him. Kevin Durant is done with the Suns at the end of the year.
Right.
They're trading him.
Fine.
So he's going somewhere.
I believe you.
I mean, Brian Windhorst said that straight on ESPN a few hours ago.
Okay. So they're going to trade him.
They're going to trade
him. And if you're the Warriors, do you want to be in on that? Absolutely.
Okay,
you do.
But doesn't it actually have something to do with the way this season ends?
It like does.
The only
yeah.
way I can answer my own question would be, well, maybe, but maybe not. If this goes well, then no.
How well?
That's a good question.
Like for me, thank you. If it, like,
I would say that you would have to obviously dance and advance in the playoffs a little bit.
Yep.
And feel like you are at minimum building towards something that you think could do it again. Like, in other words, what we still don't know is what Jonathan Kuminga brings to the table when this all gets going. So now, if you've got another young, dynamic player, and it fits, and it's all working, and you get to the second or the third round, and at least feel like, let's say you go to the second round and you get to game six, same thing that happened two seasons ago. Like, you didn't threaten to win a championship, but you danced and advanced. I would say you need to at least do that to feel like, okay, let's just keep doing what we're doing. Anything short of that, I'd be open to it. But if it gets to that point or beyond, I'm hard-pressed to find a way to then take all those assets and turn them into Kevin Durant, who is only a year younger than Steph Curry. He made a great point about himself on the Draymond Green podcast, which, couple things. First of all, how many people are like, well, you know why Kevin didn't want to come to the Warriors? Because of Draymond Green.
Yeah.
Changed everybody's mind, and he went on his podcast 2 weeks later. I mean, I clearly think that was purposeful.
Yeah, but talking is different than playing 82 games with a guy.
It is, but I don't think they hate each other.
That's fair.
But one of the things he said about why he didn't want to be traded was, I cost a lot. So if I come to your team, it blows the whole damn thing up. I thought it was amazing self-awareness, to be honest with you.
Yes, and that leads me to the reality of the question, which is, all right, Phoenix wants to trade Kevin Durant. What team has the wherewithal and the salaries and the potential destination that he would actually go to that would make it work? Because I don't think that Kevin's just going to go to fill-in-the-blank team. Phoenix is going to say, all right, we're going to trade you to Washington, and that's going to be the way that goes. No, you're not trading me to Washington.
No, he's going to have a say.
Yes.
And the early returns say that he's got eyes for Miami, which, you know, is odd, because if he had eyes for Miami, I'm curious why Miami and Phoenix couldn't have just done some sort of a Butler for Durant deal.
Yeah.
Like, why? That seems like that was easy.
Too easy.
But it didn't work out that way. I know Phoenix probably started out with designs on pairing Butler with Kevin Durant. And obviously, because Bradley Beal's no trade clause, that couldn't work. But anyway, check this out. First of all, here's Durant talking about not wanting to move mid-season.
But as far as the Warriors, I didn't want to move. And then as a player like me, I cost a lot. Me going into your team is going to make, it's going to be a whole new era of your team when I get to your team. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's a lot of work. I'm still of value, especially in my contract and just my production, that me just getting up and moving in the middle of the season, it's going to be a big blow to any team I'm going to. You know what I'm saying? So like, I get why y'all want to trade me and, you know, y'all looking at it just from simple fact, that's just business. But from me looking at it, I'm just like, it just don't make sense for either side right now to go through that. You know what I'm saying? When we just play the season out, and if that's the decision you want to make in the off season, then you figure it out.
Oh.
Wait. What?
Oh.
The off season?
Y'all got that right?
Y'all figure it out?
I didn't
off season.
I didn't want to move. I cost a lot. If I come to you, it's a whole new era for your team.
Yep.
Not wrong. We know that better than anybody. But I just didn't want to move in the middle of the season. Now, if you want to trade me, then we can do it in the off season and we'll figure it out.
Oh.
That feels like a very, very relevant comment to the Golden State Warriors franchise. I mean, I don't know if I buy that as the only reason, but Kevin Durant is on the Draymond podcast essentially trying to remove the drama from all of our mouths. What are the answers we all came up with? Oh, well, he hates Draymond Green.
Yep.
Oh, he doesn't. He's still got beef with Steve Kerr. He didn't like the Lacob and the whole way the organization was run. He didn't like that the fans didn't love him as much as they love Steph Curry. These are the four things we heard. Kevin seems to be telling you, don't have to believe him, but Kevin seems to be telling all of us, no, it's none of those things. It literally was because it's February. Ask me again in July.
Right.
You might get a different answer.
You might. And just looking at the machinations of what this would be, and I'll just give it to you simply, and 888-957-9570 if you want to weigh in. Jimmy makes next year 54.1. Kevin makes next year 54.7.
Sounds good. There's a match.
Would you rather have Steph, Jimmy, and Draymond, what we've seen, or Steph, Draymond, and KD?
Well, here's what's so fascinating about that.
If it's a one-for-one, swap-a-rooney.
Crazy easy question. Swap-a-rooney. Yeah. Shrug shoulders.
Totally.
Anyway, like, crazy easy question to answer if you'd asked me 18 days ago.
Oh, for sure.
There's not a one of you that would have said Jimmy Butler.
Right.
Today, I'd argue he'd win the poll. He'd win the poll.
That's why I think it's fascinating.
Seven basketball games, most of them against bad teams. Seven basketball games have likely changed most of our minds. And by the way, if you want to go back in time and do the whole Butler deal versus Durant deal, I think a Warrior fan is smart to say, well, I'll take the Butler deal because it costs so much less than the Durant deal. But now, think about what Mike Dunleavy might have just done. Let's say the Warriors do whimper out in the first round. And let's say something at that point, remember 2 days ago, everyone's worried about, well, Jimmy, enjoy the honeymoon because right. Jimmy's going to get mad now. All right, let's say at the end of this year, your first round whimper out and the Jimmy thing is not feeling as hunky-dory as it is now. And you just proposed the idea of a Jimmy and KD one-to-one swap. And we know Phoenix loves Jimmy Butler. They just tried to get him. And he's younger than Kevin Durant, actually. So would Phoenix be interested? I don't know, maybe. But if you were able to do that, that means that the Warriors just acquired Kevin Durant for Andrew Wiggins, Dennis Schroeder, Kyle Anderson, Lindy Waters, and one pick, as opposed to what they were about to do to get Kevin Durant, which is all those people plus Kuminga, possibly Draymond, and possibly two more picks.
Right, right. Probably
the steal of the century.
Wiggins and a couple of picks. Whatever
yes,
it would have been.
Whatever it was.
It would have been richer. And I just wonder now, after seven games, which you're right, 18 days ago, you would have laughed me out of the building for even comparing the trios, but they're humming with Jimmy Butler.
They're humming.
Jimmy humming. They're 6-1 with Butler, Steph, and Draymond. And we know what Steph, Draymond, and KD were back 6 years ago. Would they still be that now? And Jimmy Butler is 50 weeks younger than Kevin Durant, almost a year to the day, and they make basically the same amount of money, and they're different players. Kevin is a much more high-volume scorer. He's a better scorer. Jimmy's a better overall player in all the phases of the game. Kevin's a better player, but Jimmy does more for you. Distribution, defense, maybe the swag is better. So I wonder what fans would like. Now, ideally, you would be able to have them both. And there's a long, long shot of a way that you could do that.
Oof.
It would involve a Kuminga sign and trade. It would involve, you know, using a
lot of picks.
Some of all your picks, yep. All of them picks.
And,
but
yeah,
also
more young players, not just Kuminga. More of
it would be probably Moses and
Pods.
Yeah, and you know, maybe Buddy because he's making nine.
Yep.
You need to stack some salary to get up there. So there is a way it could be Steph, Draymond, Jimmy, and KD. And then you'd have, you know, Quentin that's, and Uri and
yeah.
Jackson and Pat.
That's like an embarrassing roster, to be honest with you.
Guys, would you mind if we played 4-on-4 tonight?
I mean,
could we run fours?
But it's also an incredibly old and so injury-concerning roster.
Well, it would be a championship or bust roster, and I know you hate that, but you'd be trading at least two first-round picks and your young core for one bite at the apple, basically.
Yep. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Twitch and YouTube, powered by the First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online, or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer.